our Sunday mornings and our time to get together with like-minded believers, God, to worship you, to acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I want to begin our prayer time by thanking you today for how you moved in April's friend's life. We have the report that Kathy has a new job. She has a permanent place to live. And Father, we just say thank you. And I pray, God, that Kathy herself would acknowledge the fact that not only were we praying for her, I'm sure other people were, and that you answered the prayer exactly the way she requested it. So thank you, God. And there are other people, God, among us who are in different situations, for Alan and Natasha. We continue to pray for them, Lord, as they go through and mourn the loss of Alan's grandmother. We ask, God, you'd bless them in these days. And any family member, Father, who does not know you, I pray, God, that their awareness of you, Father, and your presence in their life will bring them to a place where they'll acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. And then we ask for healing, God, as Sylvia's eye surgery was last week. We ask, God, for complete healing from that, and that the procedure would go exactly as planned and that her sight would be greatly improved. And for Joel, who recently had surgery, and we pray, God, that you would heal him 100% completely from his surgery, God, and that it would be complete health. And then, Father, we thank you for Santa's new home. She has a place to live, a place that she can call her own, and she continues to recover from her hip surgery. God, we give Santa to you, Father, and pray that she would make lots of new friends at this new place, God, that she would be happy there, and that you would expand her social life, God, and that she would tell others about you, and that she would have opportunity, Father, to give you honor and praise. And for April's mom, as she still needs some kind of permanent housing, God, I pray that you'd be with the family and April's family as they try to figure out what to do and where mom can go on a permanent way, such an independent lady. I ask, God, that the family could do this with your help and that the place that is found would be exactly the place, God, where you would want her. Father, we have concerns way beyond our local church this morning. And we pray, God, for those things that are going on over in the Ukraine. And Father, I don't know how to pray exactly except that I pray for your will to be done. I pray, God, that those who know you in the Ukraine as Lord and Savior would trust you, depend upon you, Father, and they would sense your presence in these days. I pray, God, for the political leaders involved, for Vladimir Putin, God. I ask, Father, somehow your Holy Spirit could break through his hard heart and that he would come to a place, God, where he would obey you. And I know, God, that seems almost impossible from our perspective, but we know, God, with you, nothing's impossible. So I give you Vladimir Putin, I give you our president, God, and I pray that you would guide him and that he would have counselors around him who would guide him with godly advice and that he would follow whatever it is you want him to do, God, and that his decisions would be in the center of your will. And for other world leaders, Father, I give them all to you. Those who are involved, they also would have godly advisors around them, God, and they would make decisions in accordance with your will. The world has been at this place many, many times in the past, God, and there was always lots of suffering, lots of death, lots of pain. And here we find ourselves there again. So, Father, I just give it to you. And I pray that we could be a banner for what it means to be a country that we still call ourselves Christian, that we still believe that Jesus is Lord. I pray, God, we could demonstrate that by our decisions. So I give you the Ukraine, God. I just say, may your will be done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Do we have kingdom kids? Okay. The word is we don't have kingdom kids today, so sorry about that. This morning's reading for Della to preach is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Is that still it? Okay, good. I'm reading the right verses. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Jesus' disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted you, the prophets before you, they persecute you."
Good morning. So as some of you know, this is my second sermon. So please be graceful and merciful. This morning, we are going to go back to the basics. I think it is extremely important that we all are on the same page. So this morning, I'm going to start us out with a video. So I ask that you just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Oh dear, they're gonna send me to jail.
Non, honey. Monsieur, parlez-vous français?
They want to know if you speak French.
No, no, I know, I know that. No parlo français. Yo hablo español.
Oh, español. Español. Allez, me chercher le poivron.
Oh, tout de suite.
Excellent, vous verrez tout à l'heure. Bien, très bien.
What are they talking about?
How would I know?
Oh dear, they're gonna send me to the guillotine.
Now you just take your time.
Voici mon idée. Je vous parlerai, vous lui parlerez, il lui parlera et lui il parlera à la dame. Allons-y.
Spricht zu mir, ich spreche zu ihm, sie sprechen zu ihm und spricht zu ihr.
Elle va parler à elle, elle me va parler à moi. Je le vais parler à usted y usted le habla a la señora.
Ah, muy buena idea, muy buena idea.
What?
Very good idea.
What is?
Oh, the sergeant only speaks French. See, and now this other cop here, he speaks French and German.
Huh?
And this fellow, he speaks German and Spanish.
Oh.
So, he's going to ask the questions and we'll translate them to you.
Oh, good.
Bueno.
Bien, bon. Et vous puissiez cet argent.
Wo haben Sie das Geld her?
Donde tomo ese dinero?
Where do you get the money?
I got it from a man on the street, but I didn't know it was counterfeit.
Me lo dio un hombre en la calle, pero yo no sabía que era falso.
Ein Mann in der Straße gibt mir zu mir, weil ich denn nicht, was ist das Geld?
Je l'ai reçu d'un homme dans la rue et je n'ai pas su que c'est faux. Ha! Ha! Ha!
Ha! Ha!
Es la verdad!
Das ist wahr!
C'est vrai!
Je dois vous prévenir que le maniement de faux billets est puni par les travaux forcés en perpétuité.
Ich mache Sie darauf aufmerksam, dass das für das Verteilen von falschen Geld zum Vorstrafe steht, verlängert mit fester Arbeit.
Yo le quiero hacer saber a usted una cosa, que el que falsifica dinero va a la cárcel por trabajo forzado para toda la vida.
Aber you do know something. That the penalty for counterfeiting is imprisonment, life imprisonment and hard labor.
Hey.
No, 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 no.
bisschen verrückt. Ich will nicht machen, Geld.
Es ist in der Erde, der Fonds, meine Jahr.
Bien. Si elle rend l'argent, elle peut s'en aller.
Gut. Wenn sie ihre Restaurantrechnung bezahlt, kann sie gehen.
Bueno, si ella le paga de vuelta al restaurant, ella se puede ir.
Good. If you pay the restaurant bill, you can go.
Hooray!
Olé!
Well, the world.
Adiós!
El dinero aquí lo tengo yo.
Avec l'argent, compte fait.
We don't know what's happening.
Hey, she's the brains of this gang.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't care. Ricky gave you your money back, didn't he? Listen, thanks to me, you got to do something the very few Americans get to do. You got to see the inside of a French jail. Thanks to you, we almost spent the rest of our lives on Devil's Island.
Oh, come on now. Will you forget it? It's all over now.
Oh, you make me so
now,
mad.
Forget it.
Me for a thing
all
like that.
Right. Besides, I got a surprise for you.
For me, what?
I bought you a painting.
You bought... I bought a painting, too.
Did we?
Yeah, we got a genuine original.
Yeah. No
I'll go get it. We'll see who's got the best eye for
okay, right. I'll show you the one I got for you.
All right, I got it right here.
See, it's a beautiful look.
So I think that speaks a lot about what we do here. We all communicate, right? We communicate with facial gestures, expressions, languages, and words, right? We could be saying the same exact thing, but it comes across differently or it's received differently. And we may be trying to go to the same exact place. But if we're not communicating and we're not on the same page, we could get lost. So what we're going to do is talk about communication today because our church is starting a new journey. This is a new beginning for us. So let us ensure that we truly understand each other and that what our church actually believes. Today we're going to be reviewing meanings of some words that we often hear and use. Do we agree on what they mean? I hope so. But what I've learned after spending 10 months with Vision Partners is that we should not assume anything. So the words we're going to be talking about today are sacrifice, savior, salvation, and sanctification. As we read through the Bible, the stories tell about how God tries to save his people again and again and again. The Bible tells about how God's people have been forgiven, restored, set apart, and protected. They have been provided for and loved, led on the earth to assure that we can spend eternity in heaven with him by the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. That brings us to our first word, and that is sacrifice. When we look at Webster's dictionary, it says the definition, destruction, or surrender of something for the sake of something else. The biblical definition is an offering presented to God as a token to express thanksgiving, to acknowledge guilt, and to restore good relationships with him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. God allowed for his only Son to be sacrificed for us, so that we would not be separated from him because of our sins, If you ask me, that's the biggest sacrifice that I could ever ask for, or we should even ask for. Savior, one who saves, the Messiah, the promised deliverer. Here at Living Hope Church, we call him Jesus Christ. Living Hope Church believes that Jesus Christ is our Savior who gave the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. By accepting him as our Savior, we will have eternal life and enter into the gates of heaven. While here on earth, we live by his teachings, honoring God's sacrifice of his Son for our sins. If we choose to receive this gift, we are saved by Christ's death and resurrection. If you have any questions about this, please ask your church leaders, the pastor staff, the church board, a Christian friend. Don't let that question go unanswered. How do you receive that gift? So salvation. Webster's Dictionary says, salvation, the act of saving someone from sin or evil. The state of being saved from sin or evil. Something that saves someone or something from danger or a difficult situation. You notice they don't mention Jesus Christ at all. The biblical definition of salvation, also called deliverance or redemption, is the saving of human beings from sin and its consequences. The consequence of sin are death and separation from God. The Church of the Nazarene's definition reads as follows: Christ's atoning death was for the entire human race. Everyone who repents and believes in Christ is justified and regenerated and saved from the dominion of sin. Nazarenes believe that anyone who falls from the grace of sin has to repent. Sorry, from the grace of repentance, you must repent. In other words, repent or perish. If you don't repent, you will perish, right? Salvation is God's gift to us by sacrificing his Son, who is our Savior. Sanctification gets a little complicated, but we're going to do the best we can to define it today. Sanctification, or in verb form, sanctify, literally means to set apart for special use or purpose. That is to make holy or sacred. Sanctification refers to the state or the process of being set apart, i.e., made holy, as a vessel filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Sanctifying grace enables us to respond to God by leading a spirit-filled and Christ-like life aimed towards love. The Wesleyan theology maintains that salvation is the act of God's grace entirely, from the invitation to the pardon and to grow in holiness. Sanctification is God's will for us. What Jesus had to say about sanctification in John 17:16, the Lord says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it, meaning set apart. In John 17:17, the Lord asked God to sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. Now, the Church of the Nazarene brings it another step, and they call it entire sanctification. Nazarenes believe that Nazarenes are a holiness people open to complete regeneration and sanctification by the Holy Spirit. This is a gift from God. It is not earned through works. Jesus Christ modeled a holy, sinless life, and the Holy Spirit enables believers to become more Christ-like day by day. So, that brings us to a phrase that we have often heard from the pulpit. Fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I've asked many of you what you think Pastor Gene means by this, and received different answers from each person that I asked. Kind of like our video, right? I think it is extremely important that we all understand what our lead pastor means and expects from us as a church family. So I've asked him to provide me with a definition. I'm actually going to read what he gave to me. Fully devoted follower of Jesus. It does not mean a certain level of maturity. You can be a fully devoted follower of Jesus the first day that you are saved. What it means is to be wholly committed to him in every area of our lives. 2 Corinthians reads, need my glasses. So it's 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says, therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciles us to him and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So what does that mean? Here are some examples that Pastor Gene had given me. We purpose to know God more. That's why we're here, right? That's why we come here. That's why we go to Bible studies. That's why we read our Bible. We are to live the way Jesus lived, and that is to live into community, in community, invest in others, volunteer our times and our gifts, and equip ourselves. And we are called to be more like Jesus. Love God with whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, being a fully devoted follower does not mean we are perfect, but it does mean that we genuinely pursue Jesus in his way as a response to his love for us and growing in our love for him. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to truly, truly follow Jesus, be like him, do what he says. So I don't think that phrase is so far from what we're called to do, and that is what we believe here at Living Hope Church. The follower of Jesus Christ are also called disciples. Disciples are expected to understand, follow, and live by Jesus' teachings. It is believed that Jesus' intention was to reestablish the people of God. So let's look back again at what Beth so beautifully read for us earlier. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These are the truths that are the opposite of what the world teaches us today and what was taught then. In Luke 10:25, Jesus was asked, what must I do to receive eternal life? Luke 10:27, he answers, love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is what we believe and live by here at Living Hope Church. I'd like to go and read in My Utmost for the Highest from Oswald Chambers. For some that are reading, this is on February 18th. the initiative against despair. Rise, let us be going. Matthew 26:46. The disciples went to sleep when they should have kept awake. And when they realized what they had done, it produced despair. The sense of irreparable is apt to make us despair. And we say, it is all up now. It is no use trying anymore. If we imagine this kind of despair as exceptional, we are mistaken. It's a very ordinary human experience. Whenever we realize that we have not done that which we had a magnificent opportunity to do, then we are apt to sink into despair. And Jesus Christ comes and says, sleep on now. The opportunity is lost forever. You cannot alter it, but arise and go to the next. Let the past sleep, but let it sleep on the bosoms of Christ, and go out into the irresistible future with him. There are experiences like this in each of our lives. We are in despair. The despair comes from actuality, and we cannot lift ourselves out of it. The disciples in this instant had done a downright unforgivable thing. They had gone to sleep instead of watching with Jesus. But he came with a spiritual initiative against their despair and said, arise and do the next thing. If we are inspired of God, what is the next thing? To trust him absolutely, to pray on the grounds of his redemption, and never let the sense of failure corrupt our new action. May the Lord bless each of you as we continue our journey here at Living Hope Church. We are on anew, so let's not worry about the past. Let's go forward, and let's trust in our Lord that he will lead us to where we're supposed to go. And bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us. And Lord, we truly, truly trust you. We know, Lord, that you are the reason we are here and that we should learn all that you want us to learn. And the place to go for that is the Bible and to go into classes of discipleship, Lord, to live by what you teach. So as we go forward, Lord, on our new journey, help us to open our minds, our eyes, and our soul as we go into this next endeavor. We praise you, Lord, for choosing us. In Jesus' name, amen.